Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, my next guest has founded an international alliance of parents and professional groups really trying to be a voice for parents of children who might be questioning their gender. On the line to tell us a little bit more, we have psychotherapist, author and founder of GenSpect, Stella O'Malley. So Stella, let's start with that. Why did you decide to found GenSpect in the first place?
Well, it's very much one of those COVID stories. What happened was when COVID struck last March 2020, I had more time on my hands than I usually would have for various different reasons. And I was asked by some parents who had children that were very distressed about their gender. I was asked by some parents, could you give some online support to these parents? Could you do some kind of online therapeutic support? So I said, yeah, sure, I've got a time. Why not? And I started my first meeting, I think, in April 2020. And it grew so fast, so quickly, I literally was, my jaw dropped. And so we went quickly from one meeting a week to two meetings to three meetings to four meetings to meetings for siblings of children who have gender distress to meetings for dads to meetings for parents of children who have medicalized their gender and also the parents are distressed. Just around, it's very difficult to navigate a world when you gave birth to a girl and for, you know, 20 years she was a girl and then she becomes a boy and her voice changes because of testosterone. She has a mastectomy, or he has a mastectomy at this stage. And, he's changed completely. He's a new name, he's a new identity, and he doesn't allow any reference to his past identity. That's difficult for parents. So we were supporting all these parents all around the world. It was quite obvious, because it was Zoom, they could be all around the world. And it was quite obvious that there was hundreds of parents groups and they were all saying the same thing. All the parents were saying was, we're unhappy with the treatment our gender distressed children are getting. They've been fast-tracked to a medical identity when actually perhaps they could be just expansive. Perhaps they could just, you know, live as girlish boys or boyish girls. They don't have to medicalize, because not because there's anything wrong with medicalization as a concept. What's wrong with medicalization is it carries a very heavy burden on the body. And so very often it leads to further complications. It can lead to hysterectomies for girls. It can lead to huge amount of fertility, complete fertility, infertility, and also an awful lot of sexual dysfunction happens. And these kids are so intent on transitioning, they're not that interested in their fertility. Why? Because they're 18 and they haven't yet kind of come into a place where when they're 35 they'll really care about their fertility. But parents tend to look at the long window and the long road, and they're concerned on behalf of their children, and they're all saying the same thing, that these kids haven't been given enough information about the long term impact of this, because this is experimental treatment.
And that's what we're talking about. And Stella, have parents that you've been working with, and as you mentioned, you know, they're from different countries all over the world, have they talked about being kind of put under pressure, or even their children being put under pressure that you know, this is the route to go down? Even I know there's legislation currently being looked at in Ireland that, you know, you could read the legislation and say it's essentially saying to a parent, you can't question, you know, a child going down this route. I know in countries like Canada, there's laws around that as well. Have we just been railroaded into a particular pathway here when it comes to children who are questioning their gender, and that perhaps it's not the right pathway at all?
Well, it certainly probably isn't the right pathway for plenty of them, because lots of them are detransitioning. And when you detransition, you go back and you try to say, well, actually, I am going to live as a woman now. Keira Bell being the obvious example, but there's many, many, many more. Parents are exactly feeling railroaded. Not only that, some parents in some countries such as Canada and America and Australia, the social services are taking their child away because the parents aren't happy with the speed of the transition with the child, and the social services are basically saying, yeah, you have to support this. It's the only way to support a child. Anybody who knows anything about psychology would know there's many, many ways to support somebody. And not only that, there's many ways to have gender distress. There's many reasons for gender distress. There's not just one reason. And the entire medical transition kind of concept is founded on a theory. And that's all it is. It's a theory. And I'm sure, you know, there's merit in every single theory in the world, but so long as we're allowed to talk about it and discuss it and consider, are there other options, we're in a free society. But if we're being told we can't talk about it, and parents are being told you're bigoted if you don't agree, well, then we're not in a free society, and we won't come to the best solutions and resolutions for the children. And that's why GenSpectra, it's genspectra.org if anybody wants to look at it. And if somebody does look at it, please have a look at the parents' testimonials. And you'll see, because there's one section of the parents' testimonials, it's the map, and you'll see Ireland is well represented, by the way. And these are parents who are loving and engaged, liberal, progressive, educated parents who are saying, my kid had a huge amount of comorbidities. She was autistic. She had ADHD. She was already seeing a therapist for anxiety. She had a long list of issues. And then gender came. It was the end of a long list. And I refuse to think my child is just a walking, talking gender identity. There's a lot more issues that need to be addressed. And they should be addressed before we consider irreversible, long-term, permanent decisions. And that's not a shocking statement. It seems a fairly reasonable statement, and that's consistently the statement from the parents from GenSpec.
But so Sal, isn't that the problem when we're discussing this issue, is that no matter what you say, you know, you're damned in terms of any questions, yeah, any debate, saying, well, yeah, is it a good idea for a 16-year-old to have a double mastectomy and have their fertility damaged forever?
That seems
pretty reasonable, right? Or just questioning even, I know in an article recently in the UK media, that covered a little bit of what GenSpect is doing, you know, a mum talking about just pressures coming from all over the place, whether it be television programmes, school, all those sorts of things. But we're not, I think a lot of parents, and I'm sure GenSpect is giving parents permission almost to talk about it,
yeah,
but I think a lot of people are very afraid to even ask these questions in the first place.
And that's, I suppose, why after I'd done all these parent support meetings during COVID and I realised, oh my God, there is thousands of parents, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of parents who are all saying the same thing, and they come from hundreds of parent groups from all around the world who are all founded for the same reason, which is we're not happy with the treatment our children are receiving. And if thousands of parents are all saying we're not happy with the treatment our children are receiving, they should be listened to. And we should say, well, how can we bring in the parents' voice so we can make sure that these kids who are really distressed and do often have an awful lot of other issues such as autism, that they get good treatment. That's the only way to kind of progress in a liberal and progressive society, is to make sure that everything is on the table to be discussed. And if thousands of parents are saying something, well, then we should listen to the parents and not write them off in some sort of fear that discussion will create, I don't know.
But how do you, as a therapist, finally, to ask you, Stella, feel about, yeah, you mentioned Canada, you know, and there's this bill basically imposing criminal penalties on parents, and I think therapists who don't affirm a child's identity, and so you could be in a situation where you're thinking this isn't the best route for this child, and that you're trying to practice, you know, evidence-based routes for them to go down out of that distress, perhaps, but is it a scary, strange new world when you could face a criminal penalty for just trying to do your job?
I think that's the perception out there. Yeah, I think it's a huge issue that people are perceiving the conversion therapy ban in a very narrow bandwidth, when people need to realise there's a huge danger with the conversion therapy ban that gay and lesbian kids will be converted to being trans. And so a significant percentage, about 80% of, let's say, for example, children under 12 who are gender nonconforming, end up being gay or lesbian. Now, if they transition, I know this is a mind melt, but they will not be gay or lesbian. They'll actually be hetero because they've transitioned over.
So you could argue that transitioning is homophobic, because you're saying,
and you could argue that that's a form of conversion therapy. So conversion therapy needs a huge amount of attention, and, you know, Roderick O'Gorman and other politicians who are trying to kind of bring in a bill, and it's quite evident from the way they speak that they're not well informed, that they've read the bill quickly and they presume it's all fine. They need to inform themselves and educate themselves and make sure that they have a comprehensive document that discovers and attends to all the issues involved in conversion therapy, and not presume that there's just one size fits all for complex individuals with complex problems, because that way madness lies. That is not the appropriate way to deal with distressed adolescents who are really, really faced with difficult, difficult challenges.
Stella, thanks so much for joining us on the programme today. That was psychotherapist, author and founder of GenSpect, Stella O'Malley. If you want to find out more about GenSpect, you can go to their website, which is genspect.org.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.